you, Debbie. Good afternoon. Welcome, everyone. I'm going to call to order the meeting of the Senate Committee on Workforce. Today is Monday, April 17th, 2017. So today we have several bills on the agenda, all for work sessions. So we have a total of seven bills, committee members. There are going to be different amendments. We're going to be sending some to the floor, some to Ways and Means, some to Rules. Some will have roll calls on, and some we will not. So is everyone ready to start moving the bills? Okay. So I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 299. Ask Deborah, please, to summarize the bill.
SB
299. And the dash two amendment.
Senate Bill 299 was introduced at the request of the Senate Interim Committee on Workforce. There was a public hearing on April 10, 2017. As introduced, the bill directs the Bureau of Labor and Industries to study the issue of sick leave in Oregon. The Dash 2 amendment replaces the measure and amends Oregon's sick leave laws. It excludes employers that maintain only a seasonal farm stand or a trailer used temporarily on a construction site solely for office purposes from the definition of employer located in a city with a population exceeding 500,000. It clarifies that all employers may limit employees' accrual of paid sick time to 40 hours per year. It establishes that for purposes of determining whether paid sick time policy applies to an employer, certain individuals are excluded from the account of employees based on their substantial ownership position in a corporation, limited liability company, limited liability partnership, or sole proprietorship, or because an individual is a parent, spouse, or child of such individuals. For employers with 10 or more employees, it requires the employer to pay for accrued sick time of an employee who is paid on a commission or a piece rate basis at a rate no less than a minimum wage, and of an employee who is paid on both hourly, weekly, or monthly wage and by a piece rate or commission basis at a rate equivalent to the employee's hourly, weekly, or monthly wage, or rate equal to the minimum wage, whichever is greater. It requires an employer that provides a paid time off program that is substantially equivalent or more generous to an employee than a sick leave laws to comply with the requirements of the sick leave laws at a minimum for the first 40 hours provided under the employer's policy per year. It declares an emergency and effective upon passage. There is no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Okay, thank you. Senator Knope, can I ask for a motion, please?
Sure. Chair Taylor, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated 4-14-17.
Senator Canopa moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendment dated 4-14-17. Is there any discussion? Senator Montes Anderson?
Can you just say exactly what the Dash 2 changes?
Sure, I'll go ahead and just to make sure we get it on the record correctly about the Dash 2 amendment.
So what it changes from the Dash 1? Let me go back.
While she's looking that up, I want to just take a moment. I want to thank Senator Hansel for working with both sides on this issue, and you did a wonderful job. I really appreciate that, Senator Hansel, for working all this through. There were some issues. Both sides came together, worked some things out. I also want to make it clear something came to my attention this morning, that the intent of Section 2 in Senate Bill 299 is to clarify the language in ORS 653.606, not to limit an employee's ability to use the 40 hours of sick time that has been accrued. So I just wanted to get that on their record for intent. Senator Hansel?
Well, I also want to express my thoughts, too. The parties came together. They worked, hammered it out, and I think we have the corrections that will satisfy the issues that were brought up, you know, seems like several months ago now, but it probably was. But I just want to thank Bully and the folks that worked on this issue and to come to the work that they could all agree with, and I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Senator Hansel. So,
So the first part that it amends is regarding the employers in a city with exceeding $500,000. It clarifies and it narrows who is included in that exception.
500,000 people, not dollars.
Sorry, 500,000 people. So Portland.
I was thinking
Portland.
Okay.
Yeah. It clarifies in Section 2 that it's both accrual and use of sick time hours that can be limited. And there was a change in the language of how to, who is included in the director of the corporation, limited liability, et cetera. And if you'd like me to read what the specific language
is. No, I have okay. it. I just wanted to have it in language I can understand.
Okay. It clarifies on the piece rate and commission rate that the rate when it's for both is also going to be no less than the minimum wage. Before it only said that for the folks who were paid on the piece rate or commission basis, not paid in both ways. On section three, it again clarifies this is the part about if they have a substantially similar sick leave policy that they have to comply with the first 40 hours of the sick leave law. And then it removes several sections.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. Is there any objection? Okay. Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Senator Knope?
Chair Taylor, I move Senate Bill 299 as amended to the floor of the Oregon Senate with a due pass recommendation and request the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Senator Knope moves Senate Bill 299 as amended to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation, requests that the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. Senator Hansel, would you be willing to carry the bill to the floor, please?
I would be happy to do so, and thank you for the opportunity. If it would be helpful, if maybe staff, because there's three or four major that we've just gone over, issues that we address in this collection of amendments, and any help in putting together the pony, if you will, would be greatly appreciated if we could. I know it's not normal for staff on the floor of the Senate, but if I could work with you, that'd
Absolutely.
Be a big help. Okay.
No problem. Okay, so then we're going to go ahead and open a work session on Senate Bill 329 and ask for a motion, please.
Sure.
Do you want to summarize the bill?
Thank you. Senate Bill 329 was introduced by the Senate Interim Committee on Business and Transportation. This is the first time the committee is hearing this bill. The work session is for the sole purpose of moving the bill to the Senate Committee on Rules. The bill extends the state preemption of local governmental authority to regulate work schedule requirements and provides exceptions, declares an emergency, effective on passage, no fiscal impact, and no revenue impact.
Okay, so again, this is a bill that we had in committee. We did not have any hearings on it, and as Deborah stated, the purpose of the work session regarding Senate Bill 329 is simply to move it without any recommendation to rules at this point. So that's what we're doing. I'm going to go ahead and ask Senator Knope for a motion, please.
Chair Taylor, I move Senate Bill 329 without recommendation to the Senate Committee on Rules.
Senator Knope moves Senate Bill 329 without recommendation to the Senate Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, the motion passes, and the measure is sent to the Senate Committee on Rules. So we're going to go ahead and open a work session on Senate Bill 559. Deborah, if you summarize the bill along with the Dash 1 amendment. And then with this, just to remind folks, at our last hearing, we talked about Senate Bill 559 and 560. And we heard prior to that hearing and during the hearing quite a bit of feedback about concerns regarding the emergency clauses in those two bills. And because it was never my intent, and I'll let Senator Knope speak for himself, but it was not my intent for either of those bills, if they were to be passed, that actions would be taken rather quickly. It was never the intention. So we didn't want any of the public employees anywhere throughout the state making decisions based on the movement of those bills. So we went ahead and the Dash 1 amendment drafted, and in that process we learned after our last committee meeting that Legislative Council, there were some concerns about the removing the emergency clause. We are going to go ahead, and Deborah's going to explain that in a moment for us. We are going to go ahead and amend Senate Bill 559, and you'll hear again in Senate Bill 560, and remove the emergency clause. But I want to go ahead and put on the record that a not necessarily the exact same language that was there before, but a version, if either of these bills were to be passed and to ever actually go to the floor for a vote, which is undetermined at this point, that those emergency clauses may need to be put back in. And I'm going to go as far as to say that sometimes emergency clauses are in legislation in order to enable agencies to start working on the administrative aspect of the bills, et cetera. So I just wanted to put that on the record about what's happening with the emergency clauses. And there's on OLIS the letter from LC if anybody would like to read in more details about that. Do you want to add anything before Deborah summarizes the bill? Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Senate Bill 559 was sponsored by Senators Knope and Cruz. The committee held public hearings on February 13th and April 12th, 2017. The bill changes the calculation of the final average salary under the public employees retirement system from a three-year average of members' highest annual salary before retirement to a five-year average for salary paid on and after January 1st, 2018. It requires a recalculation of employer contribution rates to reflect the savings attributable to the act and makes corrected rates effective July 1st, 2017. It provides for expedited Supreme Court review of petitions by adversely affected persons, declares an emergency effective on passage. The Dash 1 amendment, which was introduced by the Senate Workforce Committee, removes the emergency clause. The memo from Legislative Counsel advises that removing the emergency clause may be problematic in at least three respects, and again, the memo is on OLIS. First is removing the emergency clause means that the bill will take effect on January 1st, 2018. On that day, the PERS board will be required to start calculating a final average salary using 5 years of salary instead of 3 years for salary paid on and after January 1st, 2018. However, the board will not be authorized to adopt rules regarding this change until January 1st, 2018. This could present an administrative problem for the board. Second, the bill requires the board to recalculate the employer contributions to reflect the savings attributable to the bill as soon as possible after the effective date of the bill. The recalculated contribution rates become effective on July 1st, 2017. Removal of the emergency clause could present an administrative and accounting problem because the board will have to backdate the recalculated rates more than 6 months. And finally, the bill provides for direct review to the Supreme Court and requires petitions for review to be filed within 60 days after the effective date of the bill. The emergency clause allows the judicial review process, which historically has taken about 18 months to get started promptly after passage of the bill. Removal of the emergency clause would delay the judicial review process. There were fiscal impact statements issued for SB 559 as introduced and for the Dash 1 amendment. They were the same essential impact, and there's no revenue impact for either. The fiscal impact for SB 559, PERS anticipates agency costs of $1.1 to $1.3 million in 2017 to 19. System-wide savings are estimated at $99.7 to $133 million, but could be reduced or eliminated if the measure is successfully challenged in court, modified through collective bargaining or grievance arbitration, or subsumed by the PERS board rate collar policy. LFO recommends referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, thank you. So ask for a motion, please.
Sure. Chair Taylor, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendment dated 4-13-17.
Senator Knope moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendment dated 4-13-17. Is there any discussion?
And why would we have to adopt that amendment if legislative, you might have said it, but it doesn't make sense to me when Legislative Council said that we would need.
Okay, so the reason is because at our last hearing, we heard testimony, and also we've had individuals come, at least they've come to my office, and there is concern amongst public employees throughout the state, who some of whom are watching our hearings. There is concern about some of the actions that may be being taken within the PERS system, and we do not want people to prematurely go and seek retirement, go and stop working for whatever public employer or for the state because they're concerned what the impact will be to their own personal PERS benefits if Senate Bill 559 or 560 were passed. So by removing the emergency clause obviously has the ramifications that she's talking about, but because this is not the final bill going, first of all, we don't even know if this bill is going to pass at all. Second of all, if it were to pass, then we are simply at this point, and this can be part of the discussion that we're having now, one of the reasons we're moving Senate Bill 559 and 560 to Joint Committee on Ways and Means is in order for the conversation to continue on any potential PERS reform. And so if a bill were to be passed, obviously I think we've learned here, and I know that I will be making certain that any PERS reform bill, if there was to be one, that we would be very mindful about the impact on current employees and what how the emergency clause would need to be crafted to address some of the issues that Deborah brought up. So do you have anything else you wanted to add, Senator Cano? Okay. So that is, and I am going to just be very, very clear that we are moving this bill, Senate Bill 559, to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means in order to continue the conversation about anything to do about potential PERS reform. And it is not moving to the floor of the Oregon Senate for a vote by the full body. That is not occurring at this point. It is simply going to Ways and Means, and the conversation will continue there. So any other discussion?
We're voting on the amendment.
We're voting on the amendment. Any objection to the amendment? We're going to do a roll call for the vote on the base bill, on the bill once amended. But right now we're voting on the amendment of removing the emergency clause. Is there any objection to the Dash 1 amendment for Senate Bill 559? Okay. Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. So I'm going to ask Senator Knope for the next motion, please.
Chair Taylor, I move Senate Bill 559 as amended without recommendation as to passage, but with the amendments, and request that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Chair, let's see here. Senator Knope moves Senate Bill 559 without recommendation as to passage, but as amended, and request the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion on the overall bill? Yes, Senator Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I really appreciate all the work that has gone into this. I was here in 2003, and drastic changes were made and really affected the public employees' benefits. Many retired early, and then I had like one teacher. Because of the of what we passed, had to pay $15,000. He was a teacher, retired teacher, back into the system because of the way that's what was decided and voted on. And the ramifications were really, really hard for me to see being implemented when it affected so many retirees in an adverse way. Then in 2011, of course, the courts threw out about half of it. And then 2011, we passed some more reforms. And again, we've whittled away. And when I get so many emails from so many retirees as well as employees that are Tier 1 or Tier 2 or officer, and one was, we don't know the ramifications. So I will be a no because I don't know, I am not comfortable with affecting our retirees any more than what we've already done. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anything else anyone would like to add? Thank you.
Chair,
yes.
I just Senator wanted Gelser. To, I've learned a lot about this subject over the last month, and I just really think you've done a phenomenal job organizing and leading the discussion, and I've just really appreciated the ideas and the openness of the discussion. I think in the past I certainly had opinions about PERS in general and what was right. It's been very what I felt was right. It's been very helpful to have a very concrete conversation, having the criteria to go through. I imagine we still have a variety of different perspectives sitting at the dais about what we can or should do, but I know that I feel much more informed than I have in the past, and I think collectively the body and the community is more informed because of the process that you've put together here, and I've really appreciated the collaboration between you, Madam Chair, and Vice Chair Knope. So I'm also going to be a no, but that's not a reflection on the quality of the work or the discussion here, which I've been grateful for and really appreciated.
Thank you, Senator Gelser. Committee members, just so you know, I'm going to be a courtesy yes on the bill. And the reason for that is so that it can continue on to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. This will give folks in Ways and Means the opportunity to continue to examine any potential options going forward. Anything else anyone would like to add? I'm going to ask the clerk to, Debbie, if you could call the roll, please.
Senator Gilzer?
No.
Senator Hansel?
Aye.
Senator Knope?
Aye.
Senator Modis Anderson?
No.
And Senator Tater?
Courtesy, yes. Roll call, majority of votes required for passage. Obviously, we have the majority of the votes. The motion passes. Close the work session on Senate Bill 559. I'm going to go ahead and open a work session on Senate Bill 560. And Deborah, if you could please summarize the bill and the Dash 15 amendment, please.
Senate Bill 560 was sponsored by Senators Knope and Cruz. The committee held public hearings on February 13th, March 15th, and April 12th, 2017, including hearings on the Dash 2 through Dash 10 amendments. The committee now has the Dash 15 amendment before you for the first time. The original bill redirects employee contributions from the employee's IAP account to a newly created account that will be used to fund member pensions. The Dash 15 amendment introduced by the Senate Workforce Committee removes the emergency clause. Legislative Council advised staff in the memo now posted on OLIS that removing the emergency clause would be problematic in the same respects as with SB 559, the Dash 1 amendment. The fiscal impact statements have been issued for both as introduced and the Dash 15. PERS anticipates agency costs of 4.7 to 4.9 million in 2017-19. Other costs and or savings are indeterminate. LFO recommends referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. There is no revenue impact on SB 560 as introduced or with the Dash 15 amendment.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and ask for a motion, please.
Chair Taylor, I move to adopt the Dash 15 amendment dated 4-13-17.
Senator Knope moves to adopt the Dash 15 amendment dated 4-13-17. Is there any discussion? Okay.
Not on the amendment.
Okay. I want to bring to everyone's attention that there is a Dash 13 amendment on OLIS. That amendment actually is not a PERS reform amendment that addresses a different issue that is not necessarily considered a PERS reform issue, but I just wanted to put that out there. However, there is a Dash 11 and a Dash 12. Senator Knope spoke about the Dash 10 amendment last week. Dash 11 and Dash 12 amendments just came to my attention today, and they are on OLIS. Obviously, we did not have time to review those in depth. How the system works for those who are watching is that amendments obviously can be each member of the legislature can put an amendment forward, and the amendments will continue to exist or live, as we call them, and they carry with the bill down to Ways and Means, but it does not mean in any way, shape, or form that the amendments are adopted into the bill. So for those who are watching today, just to make that abundantly clear, that all we are doing today is adopting the Dash 15 amendment, which is removing the emergency clause. So that is for the discussion. Is there any other discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. And I'm going to ask Senator Knope for the next motion, please.
Chair Taylor, I move Senate Bill 560 without recommendation as to passage, but with the amendment. And request that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Knope moves Senate Bill 560 without recommendation as to passage, but with amendment, and request that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Yes, Senator Knope.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's really important that we recognize that the discussion is going to continue here in the legislature as it relates to PERS reform, and that we have simply run out of time in this particular committee in order to do that. I think it's widely recognized that were PERS reform of some nature to pass in this legislature, that it will likely be part of a larger discussion surrounding cost containment and revenue and other things. And so I think giving that the opportunity to be in Ways and Means is a good thing. And I would just like to say I appreciate the process that we've had and the great discussions that we've had. I think it's been very respectful almost from both sides. I think there's been great testimony, and I think people know where I stand on the issue, but I'm just going to repeat that for the record. That is, just saying no or not doing anything to me is not an option, because math is math. It's not partisan, and the math tells us that there's going to be a catastrophic collapse of the system. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen. It's a matter of when it's going to happen. And so I think it's I got elected to try to fix problems, not identify them, and hope in the future that nothing really bad happens. And clearly the math shows us that things are really bad are happening, and it's unsustainable in its current form. And so I think that the discussion in Ways and Means I think will be important, and that some of us will follow these bills and other concepts. And I think some of the later concepts that were introduced, I think, need to be vetted in a more thorough way, including the risk-sharing proposals, which are sort of embodied in the Dash 10, 11, and 12. And so we look forward to the discussion in the future in the Ways and Means Committee.
Well, thank you, Senator Knope. And I do want to take a moment to thank my vice chair. For those of you who do not know, Senator Knope has been working on various PERS issues since, remind me of the year again?
2000.
And he knows a great deal about the PERS system, and he is very mindful and very thorough, and he has been very, very gracious and easy to work with, and I appreciate all of everything that you've done through the process and helping me through the committee as well. So with that, is there any other? Yes, Senator Mona Sanderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, we did significant changes in 2003. 6 years later, or 7 years later in 2011, 8 years later, we did significant changes, and now we're in 2017. And I just need to put on the record, one of the constituents says, I am not a PERS retiree who will retire at 90% of my current salary, which the media seems to make a big deal out of. He says that Senate Bill 559 and 560 will potentially cut my modest retirement by 30%. And under the current plan, they would retire under 50%. So the change that's happening is very, very negative on this particular employee. Another employee said, I was hired prior to 2003 reform and planned my retirement based on that model. Now it's being changed again. There are already two people that are retiring April 1st. They've retired due to the fact that these changes were, if implemented, will grossly affect them. And she goes on, this person is a she, would go on, and she said, I expect not to be able to retire comfortably, but with some of these changes, she'll be retiring into poverty. Many of these employees find that these changes are potentially devastating, and they're life-changing issues for them. And I have no idea what will happen in Ways and Means. And that's because I'm not comfortable. I will be a no on this one too. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion about Senate Bill 560?
Yeah.
Yes, Senator Hanson.
Well, I just, before we move off of this, I too want to express my appreciation for your leadership on this whole issue and how helpful it's been the way it was set up. And one of the things I particularly appreciated was the criteria set you set up that bills would have to meet. And first and foremost in my mind was legal muster, that if a bill was not going to, I think the previous attempts through the years that have been referred to, it didn't meet legal muster, and the courts changed them or threw them out. I think that to the extent that we're able to, we have had that as a criteria moving forward. So I appreciated that. The other thing, I can't help but thinking, we're the only committee dealing with the PERS issue in either house. And if anything is going to be done to try to save the system, it's got to be done in this committee. And the fact that we've, as Senator Canope said, we've kind of run out of time, I think the opportunity to continue to work on this, to continue to find some issues and help, I'm excited about trying to save the system. So appreciate that, and I want to get that on the record.
Okay, thank you, Senator Hansel. Any other comments before we vote? Okay, I think we heard one objection here. I am going to be, just so everyone knows, I'm going to be a courtesy yes on this one as well, and I'm going to ask Debbie to call roll call, please.
Senator Gessler?
No.
Senator Hansel?
Aye.
Senator Modest Anderson?
No.
Vice Chair
Knope?
Aye.
And Chair Taylor?
Courtesy, yes. So the majority of the votes have been received for passage, the motion passage, and close the work session on Senate Bill 560. Open a work session on Senate Bill 828. And Deborah, if you could summarize the bill with a -9 amendment, please.
Senate Bill 828, chief sponsors include Senators Dembro and Taylor. The Senate Workforce Committee held public hearings on February 27th and April 3rd, 2017. The original bill establishes some requirements applying to all employers and others that apply to only certain large employers. Because the -9 replaces the measure, this summary is going to focus on those provisions, but comprehensively what the measure will do from this point forward. Under the -9, the bill establishes that the Act applies only to large private employers in retail, hospitality, or food service industries that employ at least 100 employees in the state. It requires the Labor Commissioner to adopt rules to determine when separate entities form an integrated enterprise for purposes of counting employees. It requires the employer to provide a written good faith estimate of employees' work schedule, including an objective standard for when employees may be expected to be available for on-call shifts, and requires an interactive process to discuss any significant changes from the estimate with the employee. It requires the employer to provide 14 days advanced written notice of an employee's work schedule. It allows the employee to decline work hours not included in the schedule, but requires the employer to compensate employees for schedule changes with less than 14 days advance notice unless exemptions apply. It establishes a right to rest between work shifts, including hours following the end of an on-call shift, and requires an employer to provide extra compensation for hours worked when fewer than 10 hours separates shifts. It prohibits employer from engaging in a systematic pattern or practice of significant underscheduling. It establishes notice and rulemaking requirements, including the requirement that the employer retain records documenting the delivery of original and modified work schedules to each employee. It establishes unlawful employment practice to interfere with, restrain, deny, or attempt to deny the exercise of rights protected by the Act, or to retaliate or discriminate against an individual inquiring about the Act. It provides a private right of action and administrative remedies for violations. It removes provisions concerning the -9 removes provisions concerning on-call pay, employee right to input into work schedule, and access to hours for existing employees. It clarifies that the Act is not intended to provide employees with additional wages or a cause of action for voluntarily trading shifts or a cause of action for work schedule changes that are necessary for employee accommodation under certain state or federal laws. It establishes the name Fair Work Week Act. It establishes the operative date of the Act as July 1, 2018. It extends the sunset date of the existing preemption on local scheduling laws until July 2, 2022. It declares an emergency and is effective on passage. A fiscal impact statement has been issued. Most state and local governments and other public employers will have no fiscal impact, but some may experience costs depending on changes to record keeping. The expected cost to the Bureau of Labor and Industries for providing notice and enforcement are $413,787 in the general fund for 2017-2019 and $313,578 general fund in 2019-21. LFO recommends referral to Joint Committee on Ways and Means, and there is no revenue impact.
Let's see here. can stand at ease for one moment.
Chair Taylor, I move to adopt the Dash 9 amendment dated 4/14/17.
Senator Knope moves to adopt the Dash 9 amendment dated 4/14/17. Is there any discussion?
I have a question.
Yes.
Who has vetted, who has given you information on the Dash 9? Who came up with the amendment? Where is business? Where is labor? Have they let you know where, how they feel about
yes,
the amendment? Could you put that on the record?
Sure. So regarding the Dash 9 amendment, we've been working with the folks who have been involved with this. Is we have UFCW. We've been working with them on the Dash 9 amendment, and we've also been Senator Knope, you want to talk? Senator Knope and I have been talking about the bill. Do you want to talk about folks on the other, who else has been working?
Sure. I think we've talked to a variety of people, including business interests as well. And I don't think the Dash 9 on this one is probably the final version either. I think there's more work that needs to be done on this bill. And I think the motion will be to send it to rules today, mm-hmm, in order for allow that work to happen, because my guess is both sides would probably say that they would like to see more done on the bill. But again, we are out of time in this committee, and so to allow for that to happen, we're going to have to move it to another committee. But I think the interest was that in moving it, that it was important that people recognize that we're not going to be really talking about the base bill anymore, that we're going to be kind of going from the platform of the Dash 9 amendments, because they're probably closer to where the parties will ultimately need to be if there's going to be a bill that actually emerges from this session.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. So in addition to the Dash 9 amendment, just going off of what Deborah said in the summary, if you remember what was in the original bill, and we had two hearings on that, this is several things have been basically removed from the bill, and it's been greatly reduced. And some of the other changes that are significant is that this applies to 100 companies that have 100 employees or more in Oregon, and there is a 5-year preemption on the bill, which is also significant. There's many, and again, many of the provisions that were originally in the bill have been removed. So, and Senator Knope and I have had many conversations about the Dash 9 amendment as well. So, but thank you for asking the clarifying question. Is there any other discussion? Okay. And any objection?
This is on the Dash.
This is on the amendment, which is more or less replacing. It is replacing the bill, Senator Hansel, just to be clear. Okay. So seeing none, the amendment is adopted. And I'm going to ask for a motion on the bill.
Yep. Chair Taylor, I move Senate Bill 828 as amended, with a due pass recommendation, to request that the bill be referred to the Senate Committee on Rules.
Senator Knope moves Senate Bill 828 as amended, with a due pass recommendation, request that the bill be referred to the Senate Rules Committee. Is there, regarding the discussion, I'm going to just go ahead and say right away that we are sending it with a due pass recommendation because so much of the bill has been amended, removed, and there's been a lot of discussions, and I want to thank everybody on both sides for working so well together, and thank Senator Knope for working with me on this as well. But I agree with what Senator Knope said. There are some additional details that people may want to address down in rules, but overall, the tenor of the bill is where I think, at least I'll speak for myself, where I'd like to see it going. So, is there any other, would you like to say?
Senator Hansel, sorry.
Well, I appreciate all the work that's been done on it, but with the due pass recommendation, it's not at a point where I can vote for a due pass, so I'll be a no vote.
Okay.
Yeah, I will be a yes vote, although I think the due pass recommendation is a bit premature to this one, because I think there is a lot more work that needs to be done on this particular bill, but again, it's something that I'm happy to follow as it leaves this committee to the Rules Committee to work with the Rules Committee to try to make it into a bill that can, I think, that can garner the support of the majority of senators in the chamber.
Okay. Any other objection? Any objections, I should say?
Hansel.
Yes, I saw Senator Hansel objected. Yes. Any other objections, I should say? So I would go ahead and have Debbie call a roll call on this, even though we were not planning on doing that originally, please. Thank you.
Senator Gelzer?
Yes.
Senator Hansel?
No.
Senator Mona Sanderson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hill?
Aye.
And Chair Teeter?
Aye. Receiving the majority of the committee votes, the motion passes, and I'm going to close this, the work session on Senate Bill 828. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 984. Deborah, if you could please summarize the bill with the dash 3 amendment.
Senate Bill 984 was sponsored by the Committee on Business and Transportation. This committee had a public hearing on March 29, 2017. The bill requires employers in an industry subject to statutes that require overtime pay for work exceeding maximum statutory hours in any one day to calculate overtime payment on daily and weekly basis and to pay the greater amount. The Dash 3 amendment adds provisions defining week as any consecutive 168-hour period to daily and weekly overtime laws. It clarifies the requirement that an employer in a mill, factory, or manufacturing establishment and in certain canneries, dryers, and packing plants calculates employee overtime on a daily and weekly basis and pays the greater of the two amounts if, during the same week, the employee exceeds the maximum allowable employment hours in one day and one week. It establishes that an employer satisfies overtime laws in ORS 652-0201A and ORS 653-2611 by making overtime payments pursuant to that calculation. It creates a private right of action and authorizes courts to award cost disbursements and reasonable attorney fees to a prevailing party for violations of overtime requirements in ORS 652-020. It has a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Okay. Regarding we'll go ahead and have the motion, please.
Chair Taylor, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated 4-13-17.
Senator Knope moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendment dated 4-3-17. Is there any discussion? I want to go ahead and put on the record that this has been a very interesting bill, and I appreciate that folks on both sides have come together to work out some of the issues around this bill. A lot of hard work on Senate Bill 984, and I understand that some of the changes that have been agreed upon do not fit into the relating clause. And there, however, there may be a House vehicle to address that, and I encourage all to continue to work on this together. We are going to go ahead and pass the bill out today, but wanted to put on the record that there are a few things that need to be sorted out, but we have folks on both sides that are agreed to work on this. The major pieces, just so the committee knows, that need to be sorted out that did not make it in are the cap on the weekly hours at 55 to 60 hours and the 10-hour right to rest. So they'll be seeing these pieces again down the road. Did I miss anything or anybody want to add anything?
And just to confirm what's going to come later in a different vehicle, and it goes to where some of my concern was in this 10-hour mm-hmm. right to rest and at work week cap.
Yeah, those okay. two are the 10-hour right to rest do not fit into the relating clause, and we are hopeful either by drafting a new bill, be it a committee bill or someone's priority bill, or it could fit into another bill on the House side, that would be addressed. The 55 to 60 hours, as again my understanding that hopefully that there can be, again, another avenue to correct this on the other side. But we have folks from both sides. Would it be helpful to have them come up and talk about it? Because they've been very clear that they're willing to work on both of those issues.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I on both sides of the issue, I'd say people have been very good about coming to visit me today and talking about the work that's been done and the work that's coming next. There have been a lot of visits.
Sure, yes.
And it's exciting to see something come together and see people work together so carefully to come up with something that will work. And I'm really happy to know these other pieces will come later.
Yeah, so I just think it's important to get it on the record. You're going to say something, Senator Pinnell?
Yeah, Madam Chair. There was some maybe disagreements actually on the Republican side from the Republican office as to whether the amendment is ambiguous. And so I thought I would just read this statement into the record that I'm voting for the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 984 with the understanding that the maximum amount of hours an employee may work is 10 hours in any mill, factory, or manufacturing establishment, and 8 hours in sawmills, planing mills, shingle mills, and logging camps, and that the 3 hours of overtime do not count toward the maximum allowable hours of employment as specified in Section 1C of the Dash 3 Amendment. The purpose of the amendment and the bill is to direct employers to pay the employee the greater of the daily or weekly overtime so as to avoid the issue of paying both daily and weekly overtime. So hopefully that clarifies.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and let's stand at ease for a moment. If we don't mind, I'm going to just go and... I know, that was a good one, huh? We have many ways. I'm sorry.
And I'm never stepping out. Yeah.
We
have
there many
are
ways
four.
Of solving problems. And that was just one of them. So I think we'll go ahead and have, I was hoping Ms. Earls was in the room, or Jess. Perhaps someone can grab them, please, and have them come up and... That'd be great. Thank you.
Sorry, guys.
So we're going to have Betsy Earls from AOI come up and speak, and Jess. And hi. Is Jess out there as well, please? Okay, great. So Betsy and Jess, if you could please come up. We just want to give you both the opportunity, or Amanda Dalton, whoever. If you can either, Ms. Earls, you can either have Ms. Dalton do it, or you, whoever you would prefer. Okay, whichever one of you can speak, both of you can speak, and then just wanted to just have on the record, because I know all of you have been working together and we appreciate it. Sorry to be calling you up unannounced, but we're talking about potential changes that would happen on the House side, because it is our plan today to pass the bill out and to send it to the floor, and wanted to hear what you were thinking about and if you wanted to have any comments on what Senator Canope mentioned. Who would like to go first?
I can start. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Betsy Earls representing Associated Oregon Industries, and I do appreciate Senator Canope's work to clarify the record. In fact, I appreciate the entire committee's work on this entire bill. Let me just get that out there. I think we all do. I think that what we were talking about with the daily overtime hours is that the maximum daily overtime hours are actually 13 in total. After 10 hours, a manufacturer is required to pay by law overtime. So it's 10 hours without overtime, and then another 3 on top of that overtime must be paid. But the maximum hours in a day are 13. So I wanted to make sure and get that on the record.
With 13, but obviously not 7 days consecutively, 13 within, but a maximum of how many in a week?
And do you want to take that on?
Sure. Chair Taylor, members of the committee. So the piece that wouldn't fit in the relating to clause of this bill is, again, the weekly cap. Mm-hmm. So that actually isn't addressed in here, but our hope is that it will be in a House vehicle.
Okay.
How are we doing?
Taylor, members of the
I think, Jess, you needed to say your name.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Jessica Gentino with the Oregon AFL-CIO.
Yeah. So, Chair Taylor, members of the committee, Amanda Dalton, on behalf of Northwest Grocery, we're sorry. We promise this bill is really not as complicated as the three of us apparently continue to make it. So, and just to clarify, the daily caps that we just talked about are existing law, and we're not changing that today or in the next version. I was just going to read through the list of what's not in the amendment that we have agreed to.
That would be great. Thank you. That would solve everything. So, committee members, this is what they've worked out, what they agree upon, and so that it can be on the record and considered in the House.
So the right to rest, which was a 10 hours in between shifts of 8 hours or more, a new weekly max for general manufacturing at 55 hours, unless an employee requests or consents, the employer shall not require the employee to work more than 60 hours in 1 week, and so a hard cap of 55 with a permissive cap up to 60. With an employee able to say no, and to ensure that those rights are protected, we negotiated a retaliation language, which was also not able to be fit into the Dash 3 amendments.
Chair Taylor, Senator Knope, I think the heart of your question is whether or not we're putting a 10-hour cap in the day. Is that correct? So an existing law under line 4, no person shall be employed in any mill, factory, manufacturing establishment in the state more than 10 hours in any one day or in sawmills. That was what was read. But at the very end of that exact same paragraph, it says, however, employees may work overtime not to exceed 3 hours in one day, condition that payment is made, et cetera. So it does read as if there's kind of a cap on 3 hours, but if you read further down, it says you can work up to 3 hours of overtime. So I think that was the source of the confusion. And we didn't touch that language.
Thank you for clarifying the clarification.
I want to make sure then Microchip, which is in my district, they have 4 12-hour shifts, so that there they work for 48 hours in 1 week, and then the next week they have 3 12-hour shifts. That's for everyone. Everyone, they like it, they do it. And so where does this 3 hour go? Because they're working 12-hour shifts.
Sure.
And I know in the hospital we do that too, but this doesn't affect the hospital.
Sure. Madam Chair, Senator Montes-Anderson, the existing law, which is 10 hours of straight time and 3 hours of overtime required, would impact Microchip in the same way that it does now, which is that they would have 10 hours of straight time and 2 hours of overtime daily. So it doesn't, what we're working on here wouldn't impact that necessarily.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion?
Just, Madam Chair, I'm hearing that there's a commitment on this, the three amigos here, to continue to work on it in the House with their already conceived, and I'm very comfortable with that.
Okay. Any other discussion items? Thank you. I'm sorry for calling you up unannounced. Wanted to
Thank
just
you.
Get everything on the record. Is there any objection to Senate Bill 984? To the amendment, excuse me, the dash to the amendment, I apologize. Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. I'm going to ask for a motion on the actual bill. Senator Knope.
Chair Taylor, I move Senate Bill 984 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate as amended with the DuPass recommendation.
Senator Knope moves Senate Bill 984 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate as amended with the DuPass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. And we're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 984. Senator Knope, would you be willing to carry the bill, please?
Yes.
Okay. So opening a work session on Senate Bill 1040. Deborah, if you could please summarize the bill.
Senate Bill 1040. Chief sponsors include Senators Burdick and Roblin. This committee held a public hearing on April 5th, 2017. The bill establishes the policy that private sector labor organizations and employers may enter union security agreements requiring membership in a labor organization as a condition of employment to the full extent allowed by federal law. It declares an emergency, effective on passage. There are no amendments, no fiscal impact, and no revenue impact.
Okay, Senator Knope, for a motion, please.
Chair Taylor, I move Senate Bill 1040 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Knope moves Senate Bill 1040 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any objection?
Discussion.
Senator Hansel.
Go ahead, Senator Knope.
Well, thank you, Senator Hansel.
I didn't think you.
Yes, even though I made the motion, it's because the good chair and I have such a great relationship. And I will be voting no on the bill. However, I think the people who came to testify made the case that I think it is important to have these issues statewide. So the reason I am voting no is because we can't simply have one side, that being the unions, have preemption when, in fact, I think some of the business and employee issues also need preemption. And so we need balance in the system. And so when we're talking about these labor issues, I think that's critically important. And so until there is preemption on the employer side for wages, scheduling, and benefits, I will be a no on this particular bill.
Senator Hansel.
He said it well.
Okay. Are there any other objections? Okay. Seeing none, I will ask Debbie to please call a roll.
Yes.
No.
Senator Montes-Anderson?
Aye.
Senator Knope?
No.
And Chair Taylor?
Yes. Receiving the majority of the votes on the committee here, the motion passes. Close the work session on Senate Bill 1040, and I will carry the bill. Okay, so let's see here. Our next meeting is on Monday, April 24th. We will not be having committee this Wednesday. Everyone can have a little break before we gear back up. Start thinking about pay equity, everybody. That will be one of the first issues we start to address. I recommend that you read the bill that passed out of the House. And we're going to adjourn the meeting on the Senate Committee on Workforce. Okay, well, that's
good job.
Over and done. Okay, well, that's
good job.
Over and done.